stay on campus talking to people who knew Jody Stambaugh and Alla Wallunga. Those who knew Miss Stambaugh say she was today on campus talking to people who knew Jody Stambaugh and Alla Wallunga. Those who knew Miss Stambaugh say she was an especially nice person. Not too outgoing, but friendly, feminine, helpful, smiling, basically a happy person. She was close to her few friends, but did not associate with a lot of people. She spent most of her time with her roommate, Debbie Diamond, and her brother Gary and his friends. One girl said she was a pretty unobtrusive person, not pushy in her personality, but she created a favorable impression wherever she went. She apparently did not date anyone in particular. Associated Press correspondent Steve Weiner talked with some of Miss Stambaugh's friends in Juneau about her.
Juneau Douglas High School officials say the murdered Jody Stambaugh was a remarkable student who was artistically and musically talented. The 18-year-old girl graduated after only 3 years in high school in the spring of 1971. Then she went to Norway for a year on a student exchange program that specialized in folk art courses. One of her former teachers, Doris Cranfill, described the murdered student as a genuinely admired and respected person. The girl took part in future homemaker courses in the school's musical productions. Miss Cranfill says the Stambaugh girl was, in her words, musical and artistic. She had the most beautiful, serene character. She wrote that she was at the university, and she told me she loved it up there. The murdered girl, who was described by another who knew her as a beautiful all-around girl, has two brothers in addition to her parents. One brother is employed in the Anchorage area, and the other is a student at the Fairbanks campus. This is Steve Weiner reporting for the Associated Press in Juneau.
Alla Wallunga apparently left most people pretty cold. He did not associate with anyone in particular and was hardly known by any of the boys on his floor. Wallunga was described by those who had contact with him as strange, obnoxious, and a really weird guy. One girl said that he was mainly just a nuisance. He never really bothered her, just stood around and stared. During the school year, he reportedly spent most of his time in his room or in the TV room. The boys on his floor say they seldom saw him except in the hall on his way in or on his way out. One student said he was known to disappear for days at a time, and even his roommate was not sure where he was. He kept no possessions in his room as they were reportedly confiscated during the summer since he did not pay his bill. The night desk clerk for the housing office said that last summer Wallunga would stay up alone at night, writing poetry and philosophizing, asking for his comments about his poetry. During the day, Wallunga reportedly sat in the coffee shop alone. One of Wallunga's floor mates said he seemed to be more forward with girls, but he was never in the company of anyone in particular. One girl said she always felt uneasy around Wallunga. He apparently was always saying that the white man was out to get him, and that everyone picked on him because he was a native. Jim Engwall in Nome looked into Wallunga's family background and filed this story.
The man being held in Fairbanks in connection with the apparent murder of a University of Alaska co-ed today comes from the isolated St. Lawrence Island village of Gamble, just 40 miles off the coast of Siberia. Alan Riley Wallunga, age 21, is one of 11 children in a family which is well-known and well-liked in and around the Norton Sound area. Alan's father, Willis, is a highly respected member of the new Nome Belts Regional High School Board of Control. A brother and sister of Alan's attend the newly consolidated high school in Nome this year. Wallunga's home village of Gamble survives primarily on a subsistence economy, living off the numerous marine mammals populating the western Bering Sea waters. Wallunga's father, as with most other men in the village, hunts for a livelihood, plying the waters near St. Lawrence Island for its walrus, whales, and seal. For Broadcast Center News, Jim Engwall reporting from Nome.
Wallunga transferred to Monroe High School in the fall of 1971 from Mount Edgecombe and graduated fourth in his class that December. An educator at Monroe said that Wallunga was intellectually superior and demonstrated exceptional ability at abstract reasoning. But he said Wallunga was quiet and did not mix well socially. Although Wallunga graduated fourth in his class at Monroe, a number of student advisors and others on the dormitory staff at the university said they had felt for a long time that Wallunga did not belong in the university. One student advisor said Wallunga had been causing problems for a long time, but no one had taken the steps to see that he was removed from the university. One student commented about his observations of Wallunga's behavior around campus.
I had some funny feelings about the guy. A lot of his metaphysical poetry and that kind of stuff more or less left me cold. But beyond that, there seemed to be something about him that was just kind of made you more or less ill at ease. Well, at one point, he told me how he was going to fly out with his lawyer the next morning to St. Lawrence Island. And the next day, he was going to purchase all of St. Lawrence Island and develop it into the New York City of the Pacific Ocean.
Another student said he used to show her really graphic sex books, which he said he liked to read. The murder this weekend has brought to a head a growing racial problem in Moore Hall. The housing staff has reportedly discussed the matter, but no steps have yet been taken. Moore Hall, over the last 3 years, has become over 50% Native. One girl said that since the murder, a number of guys she knows are just looking for an excuse to bust a Native in the mouth, exhibiting some of the feelings that have been brewing beneath the surface for some time. The campus is tense, the girls in the dorm are afraid, but everyone seems to think that it was something that should never have happened, and there were numerous occasions on which it might have been prevented. Terry Foster for Broadcast Center News.